Good morning and happy Easter.
Good morning.
The order of service for our festival of the Lord's Resurrection celebration today is found printed in your service bulletin. We open our service with prayer. Lord Jesus, gloriously risen from the dead, we worship you as our ever-living Savior. Accept the Easter hallelujah as we sing to you today, as we rejoice with believers, saints, and angels in the knowledge that you've come forth triumphantly from the grave and are alive forevermore. Your resurrection fills our hearts with peace and joy because it proclaims to us the forgiveness of our sins, comforts us in our sorrows, and makes death our entrance into eternal glory. We praise you for this hope that you've brought us. Fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit so that we remain steadfast in our trust in you and your saving word unto eternal life. Bless us now in our worship on this Easter day. Amen.
Thank you.
We are gathered together on this most sacred day to worship the God of eternal life, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. For the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?"
He is not here, but has risen.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Praise be to God.
God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to share completely in His life and love. He created us for Himself to love and serve Him in holiness. But we have sinned and fall short of His glory and holiness every day. He yearns that we be reconciled to Him. Let us therefore approach Him this Easter day, seeking His pardon. Holy and merciful God, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. In particular this day, I confess how I at times stumble in my faith. Some days and in some situations, I live and act as though Your Son never arose from the dead. For this, I deserve Your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all into death on the cross to atone for the sins of all people. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the risen Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
How good it is to have the Father's assurance of forgiveness and eternal life through Christ. In the peace and happiness this truth brings to our hearts, let us praise the Lord with the next hymn. You may be seated. First scripture lesson on this Easter Sunday morning is written in Isaiah the prophet in the 25th chapter, verses 6 to 9, where it was predicted by Isaiah the prophet how some 800 years later Jesus would appear, live, die, rise again, and through his redeeming work, the Lord God would swallow up death forever. Isaiah 25, 6 to 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." So far, the reading from Isaiah. Now there will be a children's song. I invite you now to join in the responsive scripture reading from Psalm 118 as found printed in the service bulletin. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let those who fear the Lord say, out of my distress I called on the Lord. It is better to take refuge in the Lord
than to trust in man.
The Lord is my strength and my song.
He has become my salvation.
I shall not die, but I shall live
and recount the deeds of the Lord.
I thank you that you have answered me
and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected, this is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Now a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We read there verses 19 through 26, in which it is predicted by St. Paul that all those who put their trust in Christ will indeed be brought back to life again to live with him forever. We read in that chapter, beginning with verse 19, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so all in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." We sing hymn 473. Our next scripture reading is taken from one of the New Testament Gospels, the Gospel according to St. Mark, the evangelist Mark's record of the event of Jesus' resurrection on Easter morning in Mark 16, 1-8. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So far, the gospel reading from Mark. I invite you to arise now as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
To him who loved us and washed us of our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God and Father, to him be honor, power, and glory, now and forever. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Easter day is found written in Matthew in the 22nd chapter, verses 41 to 46. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. So far the text. In the name of our living Redeemer, Jesus, dear Easter congregation, what is the difference between the Christian faith and all other world religions? What sets the Bible's teaching apart from the holy books of, for example, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, or any other non-Christian faith? There are a number of different ways I suppose one could answer that query. One good way would be to say the Christian faith stands in a class all by itself in that it teaches that we sinners are declared righteous and saved by God's sheer grace and not by our measuring up to any moral code of ethics. And it is just because of God's love undeserved in Christ, who died on the cross, the just for the unjust, that we now look forward to an eternity of happiness with him. And all non-Christian religions teach you've got to do something to maneuver yourself into a favorable standing with the deity. Another really good way to answer that same question, how does Bible-based Christianity stand apart from all non-Christian faiths, could be illustrated by the story of a Christian and Muslim who were discussing their religious beliefs over coffee break one day at work. And the Muslim, he was a sincere man, and he was wanting to show his co-worker Christian friend why he should consider converting to Islam. He said, when followers of our faith travel to the holy city of Mecca, they can view the coffin of our religion's founder. When Christians travel to Jerusalem, all they've got to look at is a vacant grave. The Christian man replied, "That's why I found Christianity so special. Because the founder of our religion lived, died, was buried, also came alive, just as he predicted that he would do. And he's with me every day, and I'm going to see him again someday." That, friends, is what we are rejoicing over on this Easter Sunday, that Jesus is alive and has in fact made our enemy, death, a footstool for his feet. Now, the time when the events of our text took place was actually 5 days before Easter Sunday, 3 days before the Lord's Good Friday death. Before we talk about these events and the great meaning that they have for us as adherents of Bible-based Christianity, I'd like to share some background information for what Jesus here said. Of course, we remember how he had entered the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to the loud cheers of an enthusiastic crowd. And on the next day, Monday, He had entered the temple courts and in righteous anger threw out all the money changers who had set up shop and transformed his father's house, as he said, his house of prayer, into a den of thieves. The following day, Tuesday, his enemies, who were none too pleased about what they had witnessed on Palm Sunday, Jesus receiving all those accolades from the people, and his having the audacity to cleanse the temple, who does he think he is, subjected him to a battery of questions designed to challenge his authority to do the things that he had done, and to entangle him in his words and wheedle him into saying something they could seize on and make him look bad, and maybe even something so serious that they could haul him in before the authorities as a person being worthy of death. The three questions, briefly, were, remember, the one by the Pharisees, asked Jesus about whether it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not, which Jesus answered very wisely. Then another religious sect, the Sadducees, posed a question about the resurrection from the dead, which the Lord answered well. And then there was an expert in Jewish religious law who asked Jesus to opine on which was the greatest of the commandments in God's law, to which the Lord gave a great answer. He answered each of their queries so masterfully and wisely that the people who were listening and were in the audience were utterly amazed. And then, after these three questions, Jesus asked a question of his own, not with malicious intent, but with a very loving purpose to help them realize who he was, that they might trust in him as their Savior. He asked, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said, "Well, he's the son of David." Every Jew knew that the coming Christ was going to be a descendant, a son of David, the man who had fought the great Philistine giant Goliath and later became a great king of Israel. But what had happened over the years is that they lost sight of the Bible truth that he would also be God's son, who would use his power not just to establish a temporary earthly realm, but a heavenly one in which his people would enjoy everlasting joy. Now that brings us to our text, where we see how Jesus, once again in love, sought to help them see what the Bible taught about this, about the Messiah. He asked them, "How then does David in the Spirit call the coming Messiah Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'?" If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? Jesus was actually quoting one of the Psalms of David, Psalm 110, where David had described the Messiah's physical descent from his family line. He would live on earth 10 centuries later after David. In other words, he would be a man just like David, but at the same time, God. Of course, the Lord was leading them to try to understand. He was talking about me, the God-man. Now, sadly, we know from the Bible record later on that week, 3 days later, they murdered him, not being willing to accept what he had said, and then he was crucified and his body laid to rest in a nearby tomb. We mention this, friends, because of what Jesus teaches that we hold very precious, and perhaps you'd say, well, of course Jesus is the God-man, but fact is, this is a vitally important truth for us to be reminded of what our Easter faith is founded on, because in our modern day, there are many who think and believe Jesus was just a man, a son of David, but not David's Lord. Even within Lutheranism at large, there are many who question and deny that truth. So why is it so important to hold that truth fast? Well, it's because that's what gives Easter that we celebrate today its value. It's why we love to sing our Happy Easter Hallelujahs, because Jesus was, in fact, both David's son and his Lord, the God-man, Emmanuel, who therefore possessed the ability to accomplish the feat of making his enemies his and our footstool, including death. Apart from which our faith would be useless. We'd still be in our sins. Only one who's the mighty God could come alive. Only he could ransom a world of lost sinners to his Father. Only he could loosen the stranglehold that the devil had upon us. Only he could wipe out all the enemies that St. Paul writes about in his Ephesians chapter 6. Where he wrote, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." The message of Easter is that all of these foes in the unseen spirit world have been vanquished by Christ, the risen one. That is our Easter joy. And I'd like to spotlight just a little bit more of the word or the phrase in our text in the question that Jesus posed of his enemies that day that really brings home just how blessed we are to know him as our risen Redeemer. It's in that quote from Psalm 110 where Jesus said, "How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your foot.'" In Bible times, when a king would go to war against a rival king and defeat him, he would often then force the conquered king to prostrate himself on the ground in front of him, and he'd lift up his leg and place it on that king's neck to make a public demonstration in the sight of everyone that that king had indeed been vanquished and was defeated completely under his power and no longer a threat to him or to the people of his realm. That's the message of Easter, that our Savior, by his life, death, and resurrection, has made sin, Satan, and death his and our footstool, so that they pose no threat to us who have anchored our hopes in him. Now it does seem, doesn't it, like the devil, I'm sure he thought, I think we just sang it in one of the hymns, that he seemed to have won the victory over Jesus and made Jesus a footstool for his feet when Jesus' body was laid in the grave. But Jesus proved it wasn't so. And he was, like when Easter happened, pounding the final nail into death's coffin, so that comfort to us. When loved ones die, fall asleep in Christ, we can, in our sadness, still be happy and rejoice, knowing that it is not death to die and to leave this weary road amidst the brotherhood on high to be at home with God. Jesus, thou Prince of Life, your chosen cannot die, your believing ones. Like you, they conquer in the strife to reign with you on high. It's also worth noting, I know if you ever noted this in your reading of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, Jesus ruined every funeral he is recorded to have attended by raising up the deceased person. Lazarus of Bethany, 12-year-old daughter of the synagogue ruler Jairus, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." She opened her eyes and got up. The widow of Nain's son, as the funeral procession was making its sad way out to the cemetery on the outskirts of town. And then Jesus also spoiled his own funeral as David's son and Lord. because he possessed the power to do that, to loosen death's stranglehold on others and on himself. So he will do also for you. On the last day, as Scripture teaches, he will resurrect you, and then he will transform your lowly body to be just like his glorious body. And when this perishable clothes itself with the imperishable and this mortal with immortality, then the saying which is written will come to pass, that death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, let us rejoice this Easter day, and may our joy not be limited to a single day in March, but as we leave these hallowed halls, let us take these truths with us for our daily inspiration in all the changing scenes of life, the ups and downs, the troubles and trials, and the happy times. Whether you are a young Christian with a good number of years ahead of you, or in the prime of life, or in your golden twilight years, find peace, joy, and comfort knowing that the founder of your Christian faith lives to grant your rich supply, to guide you with his eye, to calm your troubled heart, all blessings to impart, to grant you daily breath, and you shall conquer death, your mansion to prepare, and to bring you safely there. When you shall then hear his voice inviting you to participate with him in a high-spirited, joy-filled Easter as never before. Amen. And may the peace of the resurrected Christ abide with us all. I invite you to remain standing as we sing the single stanza as printed in your service bulletin. I invite you to arise for prayer. Blessed are you, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to your abundant mercy, have given us new birth unto a new and living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You've transformed the night of doubt and sorrow into the new and eternal day of joy and gladness by rolling of the stone from the door of the tomb. You've brought life and immortality to light by the glad tidings that Christ is indeed risen, that death has no power over him. You've sent unto all who live in the world of darkness the joyful hope of an inheritance incorruptible and full of glory. O Lord, we thank and praise you that through Christ you have taken away from us the sting of death and have given us victory over the grave. Fill our hearts with the joy of the resurrection. Grant to your church and people everywhere the power of an endless life, that they may show forth your praises. Bestow your grace upon our homes and bless them with Easter's consolation and hope. Send forth the conquering banner of Christ's victory everywhere, that people the world over may join the host of heaven in songs of triumph. Guard us, O Lord, that by your power we may be kept in this holy faith. Wipe away all tears from our eyes. In every adversity and trial, preserve us so that we will always receive the blessings of Christ's ransom and the fruits of his resurrection. In the promise of Easter, take from us all fear of death. Always direct our hearts and minds to this promise, that in Christ our frail, lowly bodies will be renewed and glorified like unto his. And when you call us to our heavenly rest, may we sleep peacefully in Jesus, awaiting the sound of the trumpet, when those who die in faith will rise to eternal glory. We ask all this in the name of our risen and ever-living Lord. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever.
Amen, amen, amen.
Please remain standing for the closing anthem.